Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
Hello there, Mr. Ben Roy Turner. Josh Brown taking a bit of a break. He's been playing a hell of a lot of the Deathloop and just couldn't squeeze in a chat into his busy schedule this week. But he'll be back next week, potentially with more thoughts on Deathloop as we all sort of just dissect what the hell that game is and the different ways that you can play it and everything. Because we just thought we'd dive in head first and just talk about the reality of how it feels. Like, obviously, there's the review. You can go and watch Josh's thoughts on it. I know he's quite positive on it, but he did also highlight some negatives as well. But I feel like it's not, for me, and this is only just completely, like, subjectively just for me, I don't think it is this, oh, my God, five-star, blowing the entire world up type thing. And we can break down the reasons why and stuff. But what's been your sort of general take on it as you've put a few more hours in?
Well, I'm just going to jump straight into one thing. As soon as you get past the what felt like 3 hours of tutorial, where you kept getting given tiny little boxes on the screen, and yeah. And also, like, when you first start the game, right, it asks you, well, what size do you want the text? And I jump it to really, really big because I've got things in my face, and then it doesn't affect those boxes. They're tiny, like they expect you to be sitting up against the screen, and then you're reading through it all, and just ranting straight away. And once, I wish this game would start off and just either, there's a lot to explain, right? There are layers upon layers, but I feel like once you get past that stilted bit, I got to play the game for a bit. I was like, I'm getting into this. I'm really enjoying sneaking around because I played this game pretty much entirely like a stealthsman, and then you get through to it and you realize after a while, wait, this is kind of like not it. I was in like an unappreciated child, like, is this it? I want, please sir, can I have some more? But I feel like the game, it feels like there's like a third of something missing. I feel that there's an extra layer of something that it kind of needs, not technically, because the game plays well and there's a lot there and it's got style out the years, but I feel like there's just a chink there missing for me, which I wouldn't personally have this as a perfect scoring game as some people else are having.
Well, that's kind of been my thing as well. And it wasn't that I went in with the 10 out of 10, the immaculate scores, going like, okay, let me see what's wrong with it then and try and be some sort of contrarian thing. It's just that I've played about 4-ish hours of it. I've got out of that really long tutorial bit. I've done a couple of the missions. I've got a couple of the slabs, slabs being the powers that you find from some of the targets that you're taking out. And I guess it's worth saying as well that if you haven't played Deathloop or you're curious what the overall loop itself is, you know, you are sort of jumping into a set of different locations across a given day. And at the end of that day, everything resets and a lot of your gear gets lost unless you bank a certain currency into them to take some things over to the next day. And the overall goal being to take out 8 specific targets in one day to break
each
the Deathloop itself.
Is like spend 4 segments, like morning, noon, afternoon, and evening as well. So each one of them, like, either sometimes one of the it's like afternoon, you can throw snow on certain maps and changes the dynamic of where the enemies are and what's going on and who's there, sort of thing.
That's so stuff that I think is
really interesting. That sort of stuff really punches it in. But when you get into it and this sort of size of these maps are kind of small, when you can kind of, like, once you're in it, zip to where you need to go and zip out, and there are certain objectives, I know I'm jumping around again, where 3 or 4 times in a row in a certain sort of, like, you follow these trails, and it's just go into map, press X or press action button on a thing and leave. And then that can be the same thing four times in a row on certain missions as well. It's like,
That's the stuff that even at the, and obviously it is part of the tutorial is elongated, but even when you start, when everything finally opens up and you're just told, look, you know, you can drop into, like you said, one of four different periods of the day, and, you know, different targets are going to appear in different parts of the day. And maybe someone who was trying to knock away parts of a wall, you go back in the afternoon, that route is now open. You can see what's behind there. There's a little bit of variety there, but I still found that I was, like you said, just replaying the same routes. Like, it's like, okay, you need to go back to this place. You need to go back to your apartment, for example, or you need to go back to this hallway or something. So you need to try and take someone out. And you do just end up rerunning the exact same thing. And I know that that frees up over time, but there is that weird feeling. For me, I was just wondering, how much is it going to feel like I'm redoing the same thing over and over again as like a wider, I don't know, fatigue with time loop stuff in general. And that fatigue was right dead center for me, where I was like, yep, I'm just redoing stuff again.
Yeah. And it's like, I complain about certain games, like, why does everything need to be open world? Why do we need giant maps where I'm running for about half an hour in a desert doing nothing? But this is almost the complete opposite, where the world's so constricted and so small in certain aspects that there's a ton to sort of like find and discover around. But a lot of the time that won't necessarily always play into what you are going for. And maybe Arkane designed this game like they did a Prey, where they expect you to explore and discover every little nook and cranny. But once I've done that on each of the four areas and more than once or twice in different times, it's kind of not get, like it gets old it. Hat, it gets ropes. Like, yeah, there's a really cute bit where you can knock over these boxes into a domino effect and kill a person, or you can go around and find other people sort of like balancing around and doing silly stuff on the edge of like a big wolf's head or something. But again, like, they are, it's like, say there's five or six mate like big interesting ones per time a day and sort of thing. And after a while, you see, once you see the same things, like, well, I know I just want to get through here, okay, just try that camera, do and just go sort of thing. Because it just kind of, I guess it's this, it might be what people have, when they talk about other games like a battle royale, I'm just throwing it, trying to pull games out of my head, where I'm doing the same thing for like 20 minutes. I just want to get to it. And I feel like now when I'm in the late game where I've done like 10 hours more, I just want to get to certain things, not to rush it and be done, but because I want to see that sort of content where I've seen this, the AI, the Eternalists being silly and doing their thing.
Well, I mean, the AI as well, we can get back to that in a bit. I kind of want to do a bit of a mix and talk about some positive stuff, because I feel like the thing that's the best with this is how confident it is. Like, they had a very specific vision for what they wanted to make. I like the setup of an almost Batman style setup of, you play as this dude called Colt, and you have your this like sort of hideout that you have, your HQ underneath the island itself, and you're prepping for these different missions, and you go out and you do your thing, you take out a target, and then you go back and you'll go back into your little dwelling underneath the island again, like Batcave style, and then plan for the next mission. And I like that whole thing, and I think that that does encourage you to go out on these missions with different powers and stuff like that. But I don't know, there's something about it that is just not really grabbing me. Like, it's either in the irreverent kind of writing, like the tone is quite sort of just slapdash and they're having a lot of fun with how crazy everything is. And the world design is interesting, but for me, it's a bit of a weird tone because there's such a severe level of gore. Like, you're snapping dudes' necks and wrenching their heads backwards and stabbing them with a machete, but then it's all really like fun and lighthearted. And hey, why don't you tip this box over and kill someone with like a mousetrap style? And it's just, a lot of those things, I know that's been like Arkane's whole thing, and like especially in Dishonored 2, it was like super gory. But like, yeah, how have you found the writing? I ended up skewing negative there, but like, how did you end up, how have you found the writing and the tone and like the actual reason to keep playing?
I think the relationship that I've seen so far between, so this isn't the spoiler specifics, between Colt and Juliana, it's been excellent. When it first started off, I was like, yeah, I'm into this. And I love Colt's almost quips and jabs at everything that he sees.
Colt himself is brilliant,
and the voice actor for Colt is excellent, and the same with Juliana. But after a while, it's kind of like, you're just going to say three or four things when I come into a zone that almost aren't relevant unless I'm going down a critical path at the time, and it pulls me away. But then I almost admire the fact that they've I think that they may have done this for a reason, that all the Eternalists around the map are pretty much just look like they're mannequins for the most part, or they and they're bright and colorful and they catch your eye. At the same time, if it was just like if it was a man or woman, when you go and crack those necks, because I like cracking those necks a lot. Uh-huh. If they went blah and you saw blood coming out, then it would pull it down a bit. But I think after a while, I almost became numb to it. It's like, well, they're just toys that I'm sort of playing around and destroying. Right. And maybe that's one of the revelations. I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's the whole point of the game from an arcane standpoint, to have sort of like,
to be desensitized to it.
Fun murder kill box where you can do fun murder things and mm-hmm. it doesn't really sort of like hit home as much. Mm-hmm. But then like, say, I'm going to jump to some of the powers if I could.
Your powers are the best thing, I think.
There's, I'm looking at my phone as well because there's so much to remember. Nexus,
yes.
After watching a few reviews, I've heard that this is a similar power to, a lot of these powers come from Dishonored, which I've only dabbled in. But Nexus, my God, I love that ability where you can just throw this magical ball of energy at people. They don't know that it's happening, and you link them mm-hmm. and you can see they're sort of like tied by a thread. Now, before I got that ability or any really, I was just sneaking around using the spiker, which you get early on from Colt's room. And then
it's
found
a silenced nail gun.
Oh, it's so good. And I found an even powerful one on a random Juliana that I killed, because everyone that's come into my game so far, every real person, you've all died and I've destroyed you all. And I'm sorry, you're just dead. But in this gun, I just love pulling off those headshots, and the nail gun, you've got to sort of like hold down the aim button and get the pressure bit, going.
Yeah.
But once you get that link ability, I think I linked up about 7 of them. Some of these attacks are just one nail, just watch them all fall.
That whole thing is like, you do whatever you do to one person will be done to everybody else connected to them.
Because you kill them, they're dead.
Yeah, and I haven't tried too much, because that was in Dishonored 2, and it was like, if you linked sort of like 3-4 people and you kicked one of them off a cliff, then the other ones would be wrenched off the ground and would fly over the side, or would fly in whatever direction that was. I haven't played too much with that power, but I did get it last night. Is that the same case, where if you explode one of them and they go flying, does everybody else go that way too?
Yes, because I've also got a lovely little, I'm going to say, a rapier, it's called. Uh-huh. And got this off another innocent human that thought they could come into my game and mess with me.
Juliana stuff in a second.
They got their neck broken. But this gun, it's kind of like I think it's more of a bolt action rifle, but sometimes people have described it more as a shotgun, but it's a single shot gun where you fire one shot and you're done. But this one has an explosive amplifier on it as well. So my shots are explosive. So they're almost an instant kill any time of the week. And then when I do it to a group of them, they'll go, as they all get done over by the one shot that I got, their little mate that went off into the alleyway, and they were all linked. And it's just, that sort of stuff is where this game shines mm-hmm. so much. And I love it there for it.
That's the thing that I was kind of getting at when I mentioned the, you go down to the place underneath the island, you plan for the next mission, you start having this bigger array of powers to pick from, and you start putting in the residium currency, you start to imbue like different powers and different weapons so you can carry them between runs. And then you do start to have more of a layout and more of like agency in the loop itself, which is obviously intentional. They want you to feel like you're on the back foot for the first, especially for the first day, and for the first sort of hour and a half, I guess, of that massive tutorial. But I guess how have you kind of found like the power fantasy side of it? Because I feel like it's definitely advertised as this really big, over the top weapons and superpowers and all this crazy stuff. But it does take time to get there.
I guess it's weird because I play almost totally stealth. I'm just basically living out what if I had some sort of like first person high budget stealth game that we don't really get a lot of now. And when I've seen a lot of the marketing and other things, I've seen people going around and going out guns blazing. If I go out guns blazing, I would melt instantly. Like this game,
Colt can take like 2 shots, three shots.
But very early on, they do a weird thing where it seems non-committal, where they go, by the way, if you die, you can just die two more times because you've got this ability, and you sort of time rewinds, but you stay the same. You just get pulled back, and everyone else still thinks that you're dead, and you can sneak up on them and be invincible for a bit.
It's a key life style.
But for the most part, I'm hiding around. Boinking people with nails, and the very last bit, pulling out my rapier or my I've got another little lovely gun. What is it called?
You had a poison gas gun.
The 4-pounder, the 4-pounder, which I got off one of the boss like characters, and that is a big ass pistol. I can say ass in the podcast. A big ass pistol. And it shoots out gas. I was like, say fart bullets, and I just cover them in green cloud, and then they're dead. And it's a great way. I keep touching on the Juliana stuff, which we get there, but it's a great way to murk anyone that comes into the game, because no one's ready for fart gas, and they just choke out and die. But that's, I kind of like action is my last resort. Mm-hmm. And there's certain areas where I think either they want you to be fully action or you've got to have a lot more, you've got to be a lot more careful. Certain like areas where there's parties, for example, you won't spoil as much.
I think there's
a billion people, you know, this is more than I've ever had to deal with.
That's the thing, because like I said, loads of the stuff in the trailer is, you know, you can't go all guns blazing, but cult health goes down so fast. You can mitigate some stuff with some of the trinkets that you can get, and you can get it, like you said, you can come back twice from the dead and everything like that. But also every gun or most guns have the chance to jam thing, which is like, you said that it hadn't happened to you, but like the gun that got me through the game so far is this big like machine gun that has a nice zoom on it. And that gun just jams. It was like chance to jam is high, which is just like Far Cry 2. You're in the middle of like taking out some dudes and the gun just jams. And they recorded like a whole bunch of lines for Colt just going like, oh God, effing gun. And oh my God, and getting really annoyed. And I'm like, yeah, why is this in the game? Like that's, it shouldn't be a thing. But that gun, you know, that thing jammed on me and I died because of it. And I lost the whole loop because I'd been killed twice before anyway. And I had to like go back and do all that again. And I was like, oh my God, I was like, this gave me like 12 minutes vibes where I was like, yep, I just need to get, I need to go all the way back through the level and get back to that thing again. And, you know, and it's like, they do sort of, you can experiment if you, when you go through that level environment, try and find a different way to go or a different technique or something. But I don't know, I found that to some degree, I kind of just was employing this like scrappy, like I'm not a remotely professional hitman. I'm just sort of like, well, I'll throw a grenade over here. Everyone will run over there. I'll throw another grenade over there, blow everybody up. And then the target will come out. I'll shoot them. I'll get the power. I'll go to the next person. And it feels like, you know, you can, as much as they talk about this really intricate series of ways that you can kill people, I still could just chuck grenades and shoot them. Like it wasn't like this. I had to re-rig up this elaborate way of doing something. That might come later though.
In another world where we were all in the office again, I would suggest this thing where Josh sits there and watches you play a run and then watches me play a run. And then we compare to see how wildly different they are, because I feel like I'm sort of like crouching around on the rooftops. And by the way, as soon as you get double jump, anyone that gets rid of double jump is madman.
Like, oh yeah, double jump should be in every game ever.
Yeah, that takes out one of my three core abilities, four core abilities, because I'm like, I'm not getting rid of double jump. Are you mad? I want to be able to jump up onto a roof and sprint away from all these Eternalists. But I think this game works really well mechanically in those aspects where everyone I've been speaking to, and I've seen Josh's gameplay because I edited the review yesterday, he's using entirely different guns that I haven't even really bothered with, because as soon as I got that nail gun, I was like, silence nail in the head, yes please. And then the balance it with like, the powers, getting the fart gas gun and getting my rapier for just to sort out anyone else that gets anywhere near me. It's just, I felt like I found the perfect match, and I don't want to go back if it. If that makes sense, it rewards experimentation. But after a while, I think you almost have to sort of commit in a way which I'm too hesitant now to move on from. And it's been working for me.
That's a really good point, because I feel like you mentioned the 4-pounder, which in your case has become this one that shoots the gas bullets and stuff. But I guess it's almost like a loot system type thing. But you're also upgrading different weapons with different trinkets or different like buffs and stuff. And then the actual core weapons, for me, there hasn't been a massive amount of variety. It's been like a shotgun, a machine gun, the 4-pounder, which is like a sort of like a Desert Eagle type thing. And another one of Josh's criticisms was like the quite limited kind of arsenal to it. How have you found, because you're, like I said, you're like 8 to 10 hours ahead of me, I think. Like, how have you found the overall weapon selection? Or have you just been mostly been sticking to like the stealth stuff?
Soon as I crawled through the tutorial and got those three guns I mentioned, I've kind of stuck with them, because I wish there was a way I could just sort of like, when you can get some of the slabs and some of the other things to upgrade, and you can throw them in your inventory for later. I wish I could be like, well, that gun looks all right, but I've got a full arsenal right now. So I wish I could just go ding and throw that in the bucket for later, and then maybe go out and try a little run. Cause I don't like to throw any of my guns away, even though they might be back on me later. I'm kind of like committed and I'm there. And maybe that's a fault of me, but I've been living the good life and I've been going through it and enjoying it as respect. But I'm also on the tail end where I'm want to see how everything plays out before I then turn it into a pure mechanical game and, you know, do some of the assassinations in ways that I sort of either missed or didn't pick up on the first time and clean up those trophies.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I think that's been my thing in regards to, like, it hasn't clicked with me yet. And I don't know if it's just because, like, the tutorial is really weirdly paced. Like, it's almost like a whole, it's really long. It is like an hour and 15's worth of game time before you kind of, cause you're kind of thinking like, oh, is this the game? Like, I'm going point to point, I'm getting story beats and I'm finding out who Colt is and what his agency is to the people on the island. And then it's like, okay, this is like a very specific way to start this game. But then everything kind of changes after that and it opens up more and you get the whole, make your loadout, design which mission you want to do, pick and choose. It almost kind of turns into like a Hitman game where you're just like, here's your target. It's this point, this time of the day, go do this thing. And something about the way that's all kind of fallen together, for me at least, hasn't really clicked, where I'm not like I'm curious what the rest of like the story is, but it's also kind of just a sandbox to be played with. And I kind of wish they'd gone a bit more down the sandbox route and stripped out any sense of story stuff and just kind of front loaded you with powers and ways to encourage you to do crazy kills and like things like that. Whereas like at the minute, I don't know, I think I just need to like put more time into it, but like it's been opened up for the last couple hours. And I just haven't really felt like that much of a pull to sort of go to it. But I don't know what how the story stuff plays out. Like, do you think the overall like reason to keep going is just to keep experimenting with stealth, like opportunities, ways around the level, stuff like that?
I think as soon as you sort of find your way of playing, I would recommend just following the breadcrumbs and following the evidence towards taking out each one of the leaders, because otherwise you're going to kind of be wandering around sort of aimlessly and not knowing when people are where, and there's elites, because you've got to destroy all 8 of them before you can break the loop.
Yep.
And there's only 4 places and you can only go into 4 things per day. So unless you find a way to maybe make them, I don't know, maybe they appear somewhere else.
Yeah.
They go somewhere else and they might be with each other and you can cause accidents like in a Hitman game.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. But that's all sort of locked behind following these 8 sort of like leads. Mm-hmm. And they're enjoyable when they're more dewy than go press action button and leave, when some of them can be 3 or 4 times in a row, which I feel like you could all, Arcane could have almost merged all them into one rather than me leaving, fast forward
into a whole level, go do one thing, go back again,
fast forward the clock. And maybe they were like, well, on the way you would experiment. But the thing is, I fronted my game with that. And I sort of accidentally fell into destroying my first leader and thought, you know what, I'm going to follow some of these now. So I'd already gone around and done a lot of the, I think what they'd expect people to do throughout the time,
mm-hmm.
in a way. And I've sort of like locked my way down now. So I'm just not trying to get through, because that means I want to get to the end. I'm trying to sort of like get to see the end of the story. And I would say this probably could work better in a way. It's just a stylish game that didn't have as much story, but then I feel like the perception would be, well, you can't sell it for a certain price in a way. But mm-hmm. then the story is a lot of it at the beginning and then some voice droplets and then some animated cutscenes and then towards the end. So like, if I was to say example, there's about half an hour of cutscene story stuff in the entire game, and then the rest is like voice
audio diaries and
so it it's almost not committing in one way or the other in some respects.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I like. They almost try and they try and walk a line with, especially at the for the opening couple hours. And I think that it just felt a bit strange for me. But I think once it opens up more and it lets you just have fun with it, and like you said, it's not throwing text prompts on the screen all the time. And then you can kind of have a bit more fun with how free and open a lot of the different approaches to targets and stuff are. And that's when it comes into its own. One thing we were going to flesh out a bit was all the stuff with Juliana, which is a cult rival, like set up in the story, initially controlled by AI. And then you can make a choice. You can keep her as AI throughout the story if you want. Or you can let any other player take over Juliana, which means that at any point in one of those missions, someone can just leap in and all of a sudden you're in like a one-on-one PvP style duel in amongst an otherwise stealth style mission. I think that was the thing that I remember Josh saying really elevated it overall. I've not had anyone invade yet. I fought AI Juliana a couple times, but I haven't had anyone pick her yet. But how have you found all that stuff? Like, how do you think that changes it overall?
I was skeptical going, because this is going to be annoying. Like,
it's going to break everything.
like a Souls game, if I can, I try and get away from that and turn it off, because I don't want to fight any humans in that. But when it's sort of a semi-stealthy shooter, which I can almost get the one-upsmanship on someone, I love it. This has been one of my favorite parts about this game, where someone's coming into my world, and at the first I was scared, and then I sort of survived them, and then once I got fart gas gun, I was like, oh, they didn't realize that they were just getting choked out,
right?
And then from there, I was like, I'm like walking around, and someone comes out, let's go, and I almost want to show like. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough, sort of thing.
You get that big thing on the screen that says like Juliana has invaded or Juliana has entered or whatever it is. And then you just know that they're somewhere in that map with you. So then all of a sudden it kind of becomes like a cat and mouse style thing.
You've got to deactivate a radar as well. So that draws you into the map as well.
So I guess you kind of know where you might go. It's like where you have more chances to find someone. But I think you messaged me and Josh like the other day and said that you'd like stopped someone getting their target or something.
When I was Juliana, because
you can't pick, yeah.
For some reason, this game was delivered to me early. Thank you to the retailer that sent it to me early. I paid for it. Then playing it, and I realized, well, wait a minute, this game is going to open up tomorrow, and there's going to be a lot of people playing this. What if I just found someone who's probably got a review code or streaming it or whatever? And I went in there and ruined their day. So the first time I got destroyed, I was just owned. And I was like, fair enough, I'm rubbish. And tried again. And I found someone running around in a little tuxedo. I was like, oh, that's cute. Can't the tuxedo. Mm-hmm. Made myself look like them. So they were first confused. And that, nice. Of course, that's a trophy. So I did that for that. Then killed them. And obviously then they zapped back. And then they sort of chased me. And mm-hmm. as Juliana, you've got one life. But as you're killing, going for Colt, unless certain qualifiers come into certain parts of each map, they've got 3 lives. Mm-hmm. And so I'm getting chased down. I need to run away and get some health. I run away and hide, and they don't go for me, and they don't go for the radar thing to let them escape the map. Right. So I'm like wondering what's going on. And I can see them off, and I can hear noises off in the distance. So I'm watching around, and I see, I think I get a notification that they die. So I've killed them, then they've died from something else, and then they're finishing it off. And they're killing this leader, visionary. I'm killing their visionaries. And I'm sneaking out and I'm waiting. I'm sort of like controlled by, I'm copying an internalist. Mm-hmm. And then they get up there and then they crouch around looking for a window. I come behind them. I go to break their neck and it misses and I just hit them with a machete. And they sort of like jump around and run. And I'm just getting by the neck and then I could see all the stuff that they didn't grab off the visionary, so they didn't actually complete the mission. Like,
God,
you've got to do that all again now.
I was going to say, you know that was their third like strike kind of thing as well, so yeah, they would have lost that entire thing.
Because it said I protected the loop, I got my little trophies, and I don't have to really entertain that mode as much now, but it's so fun.
Might have made them never play that game again.
Because steamrolled them first and run away to see what they would do, and then just watched them for a bit, and then came in with a neck break at the end. That was so
the thing
great.
Is, like, everyone's played a Dark Souls game and invaded has had this feeling where you know you're messing up someone else's day, and it's like it's a weirdly glorious feeling to just be getting able to prank someone that bad when the stakes are that high. I need to play a lot more and wait for more invaders and stuff, but. That's the thing with Deathloop is that I appreciate it. I love what they're going for. I love how confident it is. They clearly had a vision for it from beginning to end, and they execute so much on the production value and the character writing and the world itself. I just think for me, a lot of those elements, because they are so disparate, where they're just like, we want to have this almost loot-style weapon system. We want to have this planning aspect. We want to have the live elements with Juliana. And for me, so far, that stuff hasn't coalesced, and it's felt quite messy. But I do want to keep going. I want to, like, you know, see how it comes together over time. Because you haven't broke the loop yet. You've got a little bit left to go. Or have you seen credits yet?
I've killed everyone once and I'm bringing them all in. I've got, say, like two more lead paths, and then I can then combine what I need to break the loop, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. So I've just got like the tiniest bit left to do. And then I'm sort of like there. But
it's got such an interesting like runtime as well, because it's just like you would think in your mind that you can just run up to these targets and just shoot them. Like you said, though, there's only like at some point you're going to have to combine them together to make them show up, so you can take all eight out and stuff. But it feels like a small game, because I think the level chunks are quite small, and it feels like, okay, I see all of this game quite easily. And obviously the levels do change based on the time of the day and everything, but in theory it should be quite easy to just shoot eight specific NPCs. But like, obviously they're going to think of ways to shake that up over time, and obviously the story stuff might get in the way as well. Something that makes you come back over time.
If I had a critique, it'd probably be like, well, maybe some of the areas could be double the size when there's more just sort of open, like a beach area with a few mines and like there's some broken cars. I feel like it's sort of, and it's an underground bunker. I feel like it's almost a bit, feels like PS2-y early time splitters, right. Like level in there in some respects. And because there's no sort of structure to them, you can go in any other way, and they're nice and colorful sometimes, but it's almost too small in some ways. And then... The best area is Undum. I think it's called Undum.
It's what you start in, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. There. Undum, and that's the actual sort of like built up town place, which I guess would draw people more back to sort of like a Dishonored. Mm-hmm. But the others seem to sort of fall flat after a while. Like Carl's Bay is okay, but yeah, when they're sort of more open and they're not built up, it just feels like, well, you can almost see the edge of the world from one end and looking through. Mm-hmm. So it does, it's hard because like, obviously there's been a lot of love and care going to these maps and there's a lot to find. Mm-hmm. But as I said, if you bulk that up at the beginning, then there's almost nothing for you towards the end. And apart from finding the inventive ways to kill people, and when some of the leads can be a bit rope and be like, well, press button, run away, it does sort of drag towards the middle, I think.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think that's the thing, is that it's kind of been fascinating. Overall, underscoring the whole thing, I love how unique it is. I love that there's so many different conversations that can happen about it. And I think there's all these different ways that you can fall in love with it, because so many things can be happenstance, or you can plan for certain things or plan for a perfect kill, and then it can be pulled off and stuff. But yeah, we'll check back in this time next week. We'll see how it goes. I feel like the general reception, obviously the reviews and the critical reception was really, really strong. But I feel like I'm not seeing hardly anybody really talk about it. It feels like a gamer's game kind of thing, where it's going to be people like us talking about it, which is totally, obviously that's awesome. But I am curious how it does, because it was that initial thing that Sony paid so much money for to get the exclusive, and now it's a timed exclusive and all the stuff with Bethesda. And I feel like the Bethesda name should have elevated it a bit. And I feel like it's kind of just there now. It's this thing that Sony are barely marketing anymore because it doesn't benefit them anymore, or not as much. And it's quite like a curious rollout, considering it's like one of the last two PlayStation exclusives of the year, the next one being Kena. So it's weird.
Sony haven't really marketed it as much since that big deal went down. Mm. And they permanently cut the price for PS Plus members. And you can get it at least £20 off if you look at the right websites and certain offers. So yeah, it seems like and because they know it's going to be day one Game Pass like next year, whenever it lands on Xbox.
Yeah.
And then there'll be another massive resurgence then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it does feel like almost Sony, just like good old Jim's like, darn you, Phil. And yeah, it's going to be interesting because the next one of these that happens is Ghostwire Tokyo. And I wonder if there's going to be, if that's just going to be almost like just leave it, like,
well, that's the general feeling I get from them. It's just sort of like, oh god, we have to go through with it, we signed the deal, we've got to put it out, but what's the bare minimum we can do in regards to exposure or championing it? But yeah, I think that it's still a worthwhile game to have.
Next gen game as well.
Next gen title,
not PS4.
I do feel like, I mean, it's a whole other thing, but I feel like they could do a lot more to take advantage of PS5. It feels to me like a PS4 game. Like, there's a lot of loading. There's a lot of going back and forth between menus. There's not really a seamless 4K 60 ray tracing.
The DualSense stuff is all right. Like
it's all right,
I like the footsteps feels, and we've had this in a few games now where each gun feels a bit different, and I'm kind of like, not over that, but I kind of like, it's happened now when I've experienced it. And there are a couple of options, but I don't think you'd want to drop this game below 60 because
especially when you get
invaded, I feel like that could almost hinder you in some respects.
Yeah, if they were on the 60 and you chose the 30 FPS ray tracing thing, I think you'd be a bit of a disadvantage. Yeah. But yeah, in regards to the DualSense stuff, I feel like, because you're going to pick up Returnal just before Christmas or like for the rest of this year, game for me still has the absolute best DualSense stuff. And I think that it's just another sort of curious talking point as to how much Sony are mandating developers to be like, if you're on PS5 and you're showing off the PlayStation controller, the DualSense controller, you should be doing more with the DualSense. And I feel like obviously with Returnal, it was this big showcase of it. It's almost just as much a part of the game as the audio design or the game itself. So yeah, Deathloop, just incredibly curious to see what people think. So let us know what you think down in the comments below. If you've been playing Deathloop, if you're looking forward to it, maybe you're hanging off until next year when there's some undoubtedly Game of the Year style version for then. For now, though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
I'm going to go and break that loop.
I am also going to break that loop, and we will catch you all next week. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.